Blog Talk Radio.
Our community have become toxic waste, and those in high places are planning to remove the toxic waste. And while we flitter and live this frivolous, foolish life, seeking pleasure from our bodies and pleasure from the bodies of others, and seeking to be famous and wealthy in this world, to be used by the power to make our people think that if you go to school and work hard, you too can be successful. That's a lie. I don't give a damn how many of you go to school and work hard. They select a few out of the mass to deceive the rest that this house is not your house. And you are going to have to think about a house of your own, because white America, listen to me good, man, cannot support you any longer. White America cannot give jobs to her millions of unemployed, much less ours. Did you hear me? Elijah Muhammad told us in the 60s we should pool our resources and get farmland, because there is no freedom without land. You remember those teachings? He said that the time of separation had come, and that we are going to have to think about building a nation of our own. You, in the 60s, you were ready to say it's nation time. You don't say that no more. Because you have been deceived into thinking that inclusion into this is your salvation. This that you want to be included in has no future. None.
Greetings and assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another edition of the Time to Leave Blog Talk Show, where we discuss the concept, history, and application of Black people leaving the slavery, suffering, and death of our former slave masters to create our own societies based on freedom, justice, and equality. Our mission, and yours, if you accept it, is to seriously discuss, debate, and vet the concept of separation and its various implications as a viable source for Black people in America. And to analyze historical and current separate societies and consider their models for implementation of our own. This week, we are privileged to have as our guest, Brother Dr. Warren F. Muhammad. We know our brother best from the book he's written, A Case for Separation. But before we bring on Brother Warren, I'd like to introduce my co-host for tonight, Sister Majida Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, Sister Majida.
Well, alaikum salam, Brother Carlton. How are you?
I'm well, by the grace of Allah. Are you excited to have our guest on?
I am, of course. You know, this is what we're talking about here in this separation, time to leave movement. Thinking about what Sister Ava said, you know, how often we should be thinking about separation. So, yes, I'm excited.
For our audience in anticipation, I'm going to open up. I see Brother Warren is on. I'm going to open his mic right now. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Warren.
Wa alaikum salam. Ramadan Mubarak.
Ramadan Kareem, brother. We, on behalf of the Time to Leave movement and the Physical Relocation Task Force, We want to say thank you for accepting our invitation, and we look forward to a very informative and exciting show.
Thank you. I'm honored to appear on your show, and I look forward to this lively discussion.
Praise be to Allah. Yeah, my wife, Sister Majida, is the co-host for tonight, and we both look forward to an informative interview. So I'm going to start out, brother, in reading your book, brother. I must say that when I first got your book, I was not expecting to get such an extensive history lesson. You gave a very good history lesson in geo history, in terms of world history, and how governments have come to take advantage of us as a people. And you brought it down to local U.S. history, too. So why did you think it was important to include such an extensive history in a book on separation?
Well, as you know, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said that of all our studies, history is best suited to reward our efforts because from it we can see the springs and motivations of the people that move history. And that's a loose paraphrase. I'm not quoting it, verbatim. But the study of history is important for us to know the backdrop, the context of our current situation, and also to be able to study the motivations and the inclinations of people that involved in the movement of history, and also the consequence of certain decisions that are made. So it's a perfect guide for us in the present time.
Praise be to Allah. With that
being said, I mean, I'm a lover of history. I was a history major in college. I just always have had a love for the study of history. So in any type of analysis, you begin studying the history of it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That being said, you spoke of motivation. You probably get asked this question a lot, but I think it gives our audience opportunity to look at the depths of what you're doing with your book. I'm just going to ask the broad question. What made you write a book on separation, Brother Warren?
That's an interesting question. To be honest, I never really intended to write a book on it at all. However, over the years, I would have occasion to lecture from time to time. And that would often be the case where different believers or people would ask me about different things that were said in the lecture and where could they find it? Where could they find the research on it? And just over a period of time, after doing, a number of lectures, it was really the impetus of the believers asking me for it and where could they find it. Then it just kind of dawned on me that maybe I should assemble those lectures and make it available to the believers and to those who may be interested on it. So it was for that reason the book is actually a collection of lectures. It's not a book in the sense of writing something from beginning to end with footnotes and chapters and things of that nature. It's a collection of 8 lectures, but they all center around the common theme of separation.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Very, very timely theme being Mr. Farrakhan telling us separation or death. And, the importance of it can't be underemphasized. Sister Majida, do you have a question or a comment?
Well, I do. If I may ask Brother Warren if he can tell us a little bit about himself and his background, if I may.
Oh, surely. Thank you. I'm a native Houstonian, born and raised in a part of Houston known as Acres Homes. And anyone who knows me knows that I'm quite fond of my community of Acres Homes. And it really was the type of environment when I grew up in Acres Homes that prepared me for the concept of separation. And it's a black community. And historically, it was one of the largest black communities in it, predominantly black communities in the United States. And it was a semi-rural agrarian type community where people own their own land, they own their own businesses, The money stayed and circulated in the community a number of times before it would leave. So I saw people working for themselves, owning their own, doing for self as a child and growing up, and all of my family were involved in different trades and businesses, so it sort of prepared me. And then from there, I went to the local public schools and graduated and went to law school at Texas Southern University, Thurgood Marshall School of Law, and entered into the private practice of law in 1979. So I've been engaged in the law practice for now about 38 years. And I've also had the opportunity to serve as a judge for the city of Houston for nearly 5 years. I was appointed to a judicial position by the mayor. And I'm currently in the practice of law, resigned from the judicial position about a year ago to focus on forming a new law firm. However, it's possible that I may return to the bench to act as a judge in the near future as well. So that's kind of my story, just a local boy right here in Houston that was fortunate enough to be introduced to the teaching of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And from the moment I heard it, it struck a chord with me. And as I said, I'd kind of been prepared for this teaching of doing for self and self-reliance, so it just made perfect sense to me.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you. If I may ask a question on that, you know, speaking, Brother Warren, about your working background in the judicial system, you know, and then the writing that you have, I would want to ask how does that work, or did that work fuel your writing for separation, a case for separation?
Well, in many ways, it actually did. I actually had a gentleman ask me one day. He said, "Brother, since you're a lawyer, why are you in the Nation of Islam?" As if the two didn't and shouldn't go together. And I told him, "Brother, because I'm a lawyer and because I see the things that I see, see what goes on behind closed doors.
Right.
I saw no choice but to be in the Nation of Islam, because we cannot rely on the quote unquote justice system to ever bring us freedom, justice, and equality. We do the best we can and get what we can from it, but it is not the solution." So,
yes,
I must say that in the time that I served for the city of Houston, the administration of the city, I didn't get any pushback or any repercussions. They knew that I was a Muslim in the Nation of Islam under the leadership of the Honorable Master Louis Farrakhan, and they actually respected my position, and I really didn't have any problems with it.
Praise be to Allah. Yes, sir. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Yes, sir. It's interesting. The name of your book, A Case for Separation. Have you, in your experience, have any extensive studies, or have you given any legal advice to any groups, whether Muslims or not, that were trying to build a communities of their own?
Not specifically. As I said, the book is a series of lectures that came about in book form, but in my opportunity, whatever opportunity that I have to present the book or discuss the book, I of course give start off with the teaching and the mandate of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and in terms of the need for separation. However, in the book and in our conversations, I do quote different instances where separation has been used, where it's been attempted by not only us in the Nation of Islam, but by the United States government, by other people throughout the world. A lot of people don't realize that back during the time of Abraham Lincoln and what have you, there was the American Colonization Society, which sought to implement separation of the races and have us to return back to Africa. And many of the white politicians of the day were members of that colonization society and supported it. So the concept of separation is not something that's foreign or really not unusual at all. It's a quite common sense and normal thing when you look at it. And it's been thought about, discussed, written about by more people than just myself. So, you know, I didn't just come out of the cold with something like this. I have a historical background to it.
Yes, sir. I asked that question in preference to my next question. You know, what we're doing with the Time to Leave movement is to encourage Muslims to build separate communities, similar to the one that you grew up in, similar to some of the examples you had in your book. Build these communities on lands that we control, in particular in the rural South. As we endeavor to do this, what do you see as potential challenges that we may face in building the communities and acquiring property, organizing ourselves?
The biggest challenge I see, brother and sister, is the challenge of the mind, the challenge of us as people having the mindset and developing the will to do it. Even within the Nation of Islam, I think we talk separation a lot, and sometimes it appears as though we lack or don't actually activate the mind to implement it and to do it. There's land out there. There's land available. We have to make difficult choices, however. We have to choose where we're going to live. Are we going to live in a gated community in some suburb? Or are we going to actually move into a historically black community that may not have all of the amenities, but it's an opportunity there to build, you know, and do for self? So these are some of the hard decisions that we actually have to make in order to start to implement that kind of movement. You know, where are we going to educate our children? Some of the black communities don't have the best educational institutions. But it's been proven we're capable of building our own schools, educating
our
own children.
That's right.
You know, so a lot of people say, well, they get my tax dollars. Well, they're going to get your tax dollars regardless.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to see that money anyway. But if they're not educating our children, do we just stand by and allow them to miseducate our children, or do we take the initiative and do it for ourselves? So there's a lot of hard decisions. Actually, in my opinion, they're really not that hard. It's just we have to exercise the willpower and the commitment to implement this concept of separation.
Yeah, you know, you validated a lot of my thinking, Brother Warren, because in representing the Time to Leave movement and trying to spread the word, I am finding that a lot of brothers and sisters really don't want to discuss the nuts and bolts of separation. You know, when the minister or Sister Ava speaks, and, you know, we say separation or death, and we talk about we got to leave this devil and get away from him as soon as we can. But when we start talking about the actual implementation, you know, the organizing, the pooling the resources, the, you know, the actual saying that, you know, going out and finding some land to purchase, and how do we acquire that purchase? I just don't see it. And, it's we're trying to educate and train, but, you know, you're just in your answer, you're validating that. And so I think that is, you know, one of the biggest challenges. So,
we have to be careful not to fall into the practice called luxury Islam.
Mm.
And sometimes that's easy. That happens, you know, almost unwittingly we can fall into that. And luxury Islam, you know, we can speak Islam but not have to make the sacrifice. And I don't really see it as that big of a sacrifice. I live in the same community that I was born and raised in. And I did leave, and I talked to a lot of my classmates, those of us who were first-generation college graduates. You know, we did what we were taught. We were taught to go get an education, go get a job, and do better, only to find out, you know, it was a different world out there. And many of my classmates lament the fact that they left and didn't keep the property that their parents passed on to them. and now wishing that they could actually move back and get the land. Where I am now, it's changing. A lot of the Hispanic or Latino community is buying land out here in this community and building homes. And, you know, some people now they want to get upset, but I see it as a good thing. The land has just been sitting here, and that's part of our family, too. So if they want to come out and build and improve
that's
the community,
right.
I have no problem with it as long as we can work together and live together. And as you know, generally speaking, we don't have a problem living together. We've lived together with the Mexican and the so-called Indian and
that's
you know,
right.
all other people. Really, the problem comes in when we let that other certain individual come into the picture.
Right. That's right. These breakers.
Right.
Yes. And I got one more question I'm going to ask Sister Majida. Ask Brother Warren, Sister Majida, just in case you have another one. And I'm curious,
well,
Brother Warren.
Go
oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
What is it from your personal opinion? How would you describe the characteristics of a Muslim pioneer in terms of a brother and sister or families who would be at the forefront of spearheading the separation movement?
Man, that's a loaded question there, bro. I would say this, in terms of Muslims, and I refer to a talk I did. I was blessed to be able to appear on the Ramadan prayer line a little over a week ago, and the subject that I talked about was hijrah. And I wanted to make the point that separation is part of being a Muslim.
Mm-hmm.
It's part of the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad. It's talked about in the Holy Quran. But the Quran questions, they say the angels will take the spirit of those who were killed that didn't separate and ask them, why didn't you separate? And they'll say, well, we were weak and oppressed in the land. And they say the angel, Allah would tell the angels to ask them, isn't Allah's earth spacious enough for you to move to avoid or separate yourself from oppression? So it's right there in the Quran. Prophet Muhammad made the hijrah from Mecca to Medina. That was separation.
Wow.
He went somewhere else, took his community, set up a government. That was separation. So for those of us who would want to pioneer in separating, we're following the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad. We're following the dictates of the Holy Quran. And I think it's part of a Muslim way of life.
Man, thank you, sir. Sister Majida?
Yes, I'm still marinating on that. Yeah, and so much the brother has shared. Wow. But, you know, Brother Warren, when you were talking before about the mindset being our biggest challenge and how we have to develop our willpower and a commitment. And I just bear witness to that, you know, having our family, you know, able to make that move. And just in conversation with others on separation and just some of the things that their mind takes them to with regards to separation. I know you said it's not really difficult. And it's not when I'm kind of going on here when you put your mind on it. But I was thinking about a Facebook post with someone who was talking about separation and just trying to look and see where their mind was. And I said, you know, sometimes it could be that we have just had so many challenges as Black folks that we take separation and something that you said is natural for us to do as Muslims and just make it a bigger challenge in our own minds than it needs to be. And so, you know, the question I have for myself in that is how do we bust that up, that mindset that won't even allow you to really look at separation as something that's doable? No, go ahead.
Yeah, no, you're hitting it right on the head, sister, because you know, I ask the question to myself and to basically anyone that will listen to me. We have to ask ourselves, do we really want to live next to each other? Do we have a problem with each other? You know, do we have a problem living next door to another Muslim family or a group of Muslim families, or living next to in a black community where there are all types of people? I mean, where I am, I see and deal with all types of people, from homeless people to street people that have drug issues, to people with businesses, you know, to elderly. And really, that's where I grew up. That was the beauty of the black community then, was we were all here together, the school teacher, the doctor, the construction laborer. We all lived here together. So and that's a very good question. I think we really have to look ourselves in the mirror and answer the question, do we really have an issue with living next to each other?
Wow,
and we can hide in the integrated community. Sometimes we can hide.
Right. And I was gonna add, is it just that we have just been so out of that kind of environment to where it like you said, it might not even be something that we desire, because we haven't lived, you know, that kind of life where we're surrounded by one another 24/7. You know, you turn the corner and you're looking at yourself, and you go down the street and five blocks down and you're looking at yourself. You know, someone that looks like you.
That's interesting that you say that. And, you know, we have several generations of our people now who all they have known really is integration.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And going to integrated schools and integrated elementary schools and high schools and then on to college, and really have not had an experience of separation and strong community. And a lot of our parents taught us to go out and try to move into these nice homes. Well, we can build nice homes right in the community that I'm in. There are some extremely nice homes, 3,000 and 4,000 square foot homes right here in this same neighborhood. So
yes, sir.
I agree with you saying. I think sometimes we make it a bigger obstacle than it actually is. I recently had a conversation with a Caucasian who was a Mormon, and this was about 2 weeks ago. I was in Philadelphia working on a case, and I started talking to this young man who was a Mormon, and actually come to find out that we have a lot in common in terms of our practice of our faith. They actually he was actually very familiar with Ramadan and the concept of fasting. But if you look at their history, they were an oppressed group by the government and by the mainstream white society. And they migrated into the Utah Territory, which was pretty much a wilderness, struck out to form a government, a lifestyle of their own. And now they basically control the politics. Everything that happens in Utah is controlled by the Mormons. But it started with them separating, making a hijra, you know, going out into the wilderness and being pioneers and
wow,
building a life of their own. So there are plenty of examples. There are plenty of examples for us. The question is, do we have the mindset and the willpower to do what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the Honorable Minister Farrakhan is telling us that we need to do? He's telling us this is the only solution.
Right.
So I don't know if we're waiting for someone to wave a magic wand and say, okay, we've already got 100 million acres set aside with homes and buildings already set up for you. All you got to do is move in. Well, it doesn't happen like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we've got to start this movement, and I really admire you all for being a part of this movement that you've talked about, the Time to Leave movement. I think that's a brilliant and timely thing.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All praise is due to Allah. Well, we are joined, speaking of pioneers, we are joined by our farm administrator and his wife, Sister Ridgely and Sister Ann. But before I open your mics, Dr. Ridgely and Sister Ann, I just want to tell our listeners to press that 1 if you have a question. Don't wait till the last 5 minutes of the show to press one, because I see that happen a lot. Press one, get in the queue so you can ask your question. And on that note, I'm opening your mic, Dr. Ridgely and Sister Ann. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Wa alaikum salam. Sister Ann, you want to go first?
Well, I can. Well, I was listening to our brother, and you were talking about your community and the possibility of building homes there. Now, is it your contention that you are going to make your community a better place, or are you looking at separating to another territory?
Thank you, Sister. No, my roots are planted right here in this community. It's a very large community. It's still predominantly Black, and as I said, our Latino and Hispanic brothers are moving in, buying land, and they're actually improving the community in many ways because they're building homes and opening up businesses. But I've planted my roots right here in the community. I live here. I'm in a home. I have some other land I intend to build on. My mother still lives here. My sister and some of my other children and grandchildren are not far away. So this is where I am. And one of the things I like to say, we're told to make our community a safe and decent place to live. Well, how can we do that if we don't live in our community?
Exactly. I agree with that. Now, I asked that question because that is the very same thing that many others are coming back with. I've been here all my life, even though what we're doing in the Time to Leave movement is Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, that a law is going to make us separate, whether we want
right.
to or not. So I want to know, basically, what do we see as separation? Separation, are we still going to try to separate and live among those of different religious beliefs and cultural beliefs? Can that really bring about true separation in the sense that we are talking about it in the Nation of Islam?
Hmm. That's a good question. That's really something to think about. Personally, I don't think we have to all live just next door only to Muslims. Our family is larger than just those who, quote unquote, practice Islam. But if I look at the example of, and I hope that I'm addressing the question properly, but if I look at the example of Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, when he made his hijrah to Medina, there were Christians there, there were Jews there, and, of course, there was the Muslim community. But because of his character and his reputation and the word that he brought, they looked to him to resolve their disputes and their problems, and they actually entered into an agreement with him to be the arbiter of their affairs. So even though it was a mixed society, the Prophet and Islam held jurisdiction over that community. And I think that is a good example for us to look at. If we move into a community or develop a community and live our lives as Muslims and according to the teaching that we've been given, the cream will rise to the top. The people will recognize us for who and what we are, and they already recognize the FOI and the MGT. Anytime we enter into their environment, they show us respect. So I think it would not be difficult for us to be that force that exercises the jurisdiction over those communities and in embrace the other people that live among us. So I hope that addressed your question.
Well, in a way. But the next part of it is, when you talked about the Mormons leaving and settling in Utah, I'm sure some of those left family and friends and loved ones behind, because I don't see that, I can't imagine that everybody that left took all of their relatives and family members with them. And you mentioned there are other examples of groups who've done the same thing, and about how now they control practically the whole state of Utah. Well, when I think of separation, that's what I'm envisioning as the Nation of Islam, since the Honorable Elijah Muhammad mentioned seven states. So most of our people are now still in the mindset, I think, that you meant you've got roots where you are, you were born there, and that's where you're going to die. So separation has to include wherever they are at the time.
I think I understand. I think I understand your point. And to me, this was a start. This was what I could do. Like I said, I moved away and lived in a suburb, nice community. But while I was there, I was unhappy the whole time I was there. And I wanted to come back to my own community. I think what you're saying is what we have to consider as well. It's actually migrating. If there's thousands of acres available there in Georgia, are we willing to pack up and move to Georgia? Or wherever the case may be. And that's something we have to consider. And that is viable part of separation as well. That probably is the best example of it. So I'm not against that either. Actually, I think that's ultimately that's where we're going to be headed, because we can't just remain scattered, disparate communities.
Brother Warren.
Yes.
Okay, you said something, and I want to get right on that. You said that you got educated. You went and you lived someplace else, nice gated community, but you didn't like it. Why did you like it? And why do you think others like yourself staying in those communities, maybe they liking it versus why you didn't like it? What's the difference between you and them in terms of that?
Brother Ridgely I'm honored to have you on the line with me, brother. I read your writings and follow you all the time. I think I can only speak personally. A lot of it had to do, I believe, with my upbringing and what I was able to see and experience as a child. I actually saw black community thrive pretty much on its own. And I actually saw black people who were entrepreneurs and had their own businesses. My grandfather had a grocery store. My grandmother had a restaurant. I saw people with the shoeshine parlor and the ice house and the cab stand. In Acres Homes, we had our own bus company. In 1959, they chartered the first black bus company in the South. So I had a good example of it. And even when integration came in and I moved away, I think that example of self-sufficiency and family and doing for self just never left me. And the teaching of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, you know, reinforced what was already in me. I don't know, maybe Allah was merciful on me and giving me that experience rather than growing up in a different environment. But just as a personal testament, that's what I have to go to.
Well, I saw it work. What did you not like about living in an integrated community?
This might sound funny, but the first thing that I didn't like that grated on me to no end was it was too quiet. And
people hear it out.
It was too quiet, brother.
Right?
It was nice and quiet. People went out to the mailbox in the morning and got their mail and nodded their heads at each other. And I didn't hear any noise. I didn't hear any chickens. I didn't hear any cars racing through the night. Didn't hear any police. It was just too quiet. You know, you get that feeling something ain't right. It's too quiet around and something ain't right.
in other words, it was dead.
It was dead, and I felt like I was dying out there in it. connected. I had to drive 25 miles to see my mother and 25 miles to see my grandchildren, and you know, it was big.
Now you see, now to me, you know, that's happy, because I have been in those communities up around Atlanta, them new homes.
Yes, sir.
And if I was a cab driver, I think I'd go crazy, because you move from one community to the next, and everything looks exactly alike. Even the houses next to the houses, it's like it is in another community. And
right.
you never see no people. Okay, you never see
right.
no people. It's all like they're all on the house arrest or in the backyard or something. And it's just dead. There's nothing going on. Whereas in the black community, you know, we hang out on the porch. You know what I mean? The children be running up and down the street. You know, that's why we don't have no grass. You know what I'm talking about? The black kids.
That's life.
They tear up your grass, and they bicycle, and then run up and down. But
right.
it's just, I thought, well, thank you very much, brother, for that, because I don't understand why would a black Muslim want to live around a lot of dead white people?
All right. I have a question, Brother Reggie.
Go ahead.
I have a question. How do we get this type of message and attract the young people, the millennials, who many of have been born, you know, and attended the integrated schools and lived in some of these other types of communities? What attraction? How do we get to them?
Well, you know, brother, that is a good question. And how do we even get the information out to them? I think, first of all, we have got to establish that we like being in our own. In other words, we can't attract them to that which we are not attracted to.
Mm-hmm.
And you made a question. You said, is it that we don't want to live close to one another as Muslims? So I think what's going to attract them is to see a set of Muslims actually practicing
mm-hmm.
what we talk and are happy doing it and become
right.
an example for them. Because right now, all they have is what they have been shown in school, and particularly shown on television through social media. They've been acculturated to try to live the lifestyle of the quote-unquote rich and famous, and it's
right.
all about some things. It ain't about people. It's about things. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, we can't attract them to what we are not attracted to. I think it's going to take a group of us to actually show them what happiness is. And then they can make their decision. But right now, I mean, like yourself, Brother Warren, who has ever heard said what you just said in terms of, I live in a nice integrated community. The people went to the mail in the morning. We waved. We never talked. It was dead. You know, versus when I grew up, there was always something going on. Some of it was negative,
right.
but most of it was positive. To me, that's living versus going
right.
to work and then coming home and just going locked up in a house and being isolated from every damn body else. So I think
right.
that, you know, we have to share those experiences. But first of all, we got to know those experiences. In other words, you were able to observe your situation, observe yourself. You studied yourself and how you felt in different situations, and you made a decision. Most of us don't study ourselves.
Okay? Mm.
We don't even know what we like and what we don't like. We just try to fit in and have the things that other people like, so then maybe they'll make us happy. But we don't even know what it is we really want. But you knew what you wanted, and therefore you were able to make a decision. But how are we going to get people to do self-evaluation? It's an issue. And how are we going to get the word out is another issue. For instance, we own Blog Talk Radio. Yeah, but how many are listening to us? There's so many other things pulling people's attention. How are we going to be able to get the attention and have something exciting enough to pull the attention?
Right. Right.
Wow.
So we are.
Wow.
It's a big issue, very big issue.
Well, what I would like to do now, if I can, if we can keep it rolling, this is great. I'd like to keep it rolling. We have two callers who have been patiently waiting, and I'm going to bring one of them on. Caller with the last four digits, 5586. Do you have a question or a comment? What's your name and where are you calling from?
My name is William Muhammad. I'm calling from Albany, Georgia. I greet all the believers. Assalamu alaikum. Yes, sir. I have a comment and then a question. My comment is I'm originally from Gary, Indiana. I grew up there in the 1970s when Mayor Richard Hatcher was the first black mayor of that city and one of the first black mayors in the country. So like the brother was expressing previously, it was an all-black community, from black fire department, police department, school board, city council. We had aldermen or local representatives for neighborhoods. Everything was black. So I got to experience that. And what Brother Dr. Ridgely pointed out in terms of it being the people, the mindset was that regardless of what was going on, that was our home. And to this day, you'll find people that still say that even though Gary is a rundown community now, that that's still home because of the community and the camaraderie that was shared there. So my question is, I've heard previous Saviour's days that there may be different Nidus's or introductory communities in different locations in the country that could be the beachhead for establishing local or Muslim territories. I've heard Georgia mentioned here in, on this line, and Detroit was mentioned. Do you think that people, how do we, better question, how do we get people to have the, and you've been talking about it already anyway, the mindset to say, I'm willing to move to one of these beachhead communities and build it up from the ground up, because Detroit is already broken, but we can rebuild it and make it our own. But how do we give people that mindset and the stomach to endure the difficulties in building something from ground up? Last statement, and then I'll stop. I, like others, went away to college, and so I got to experience the integrated environment. And what I learned or was trained in college was to become middle management as opposed to start from the ground up. The middle, come in and manage some company, Fortune 500 company, as opposed to how did this Fortune 500 company get started so that I could go out and start my own company. So I'm looking at it the same as far as starting our communities, having the stomach to say, I don't need the big position in someone else's company. I'm willing to start my own or build my own community. That would be my question, sir. And ma'am, lady.
Yes, whoever wants to take that one. Thank you, Brother William.
Well, I'll share my thoughts as the brother was speaking. And thank you, Brother William. I think for a lot of people, economic or financial imperative, and we won't be able to really move until we can get ourselves off of that man's job. So, you know, how to solve that, I'm not a specialist in that, but I think Brother Ridgely is setting an example of being able to go return back to the land, and if we can go back to the land, we can produce a lot of our needs and produce employment for ourselves. But I think in turn, and I don't know how we saw moving to the to a city like Detroit. When I was in Detroit, I saw a lot of the abandoned buildings, and the first thing I wondered was if a group of people moved there, where is the business infrastructure? Or how would we build a business infrastructure to support the migration? So, probably take some people a lot smarter than me to provide those answers, but those certainly are some of the questions that I have.
Well, Brother Warren, and Brother
yes.
William, you know, people move because either they're forced to move, like the Morgans were, or something draws them there. And it's
mm-hmm.
usually a job opportunities. I mean, the people move from the South to Detroit mm-hmm. and Chicago and Pittsburgh and all the other places because of the industrial development and the manufacturing and the pool of jobs and a better lifestyle in terms of more money to be able to buy more things, et cetera, and not as work as hard as they did, say, on a farm. So Detroit can be rebuilt if there's an industry that's going to provide the employment. I mean,
right.
if we design a new car and this car is that which everybody wants, then we can start building the cars and hiring people to build the cars, and you can start the car industry in the city all over Detroit. But things are based upon either you are forced to do something or you're doing something because you want to do it, and people move all the time. Muslims
right.
move all the
right.
time.
Right.
But they're running behind a dollar bill. They're running behind a job opportunity where they can make more money, get return, what, more gold for their labor they receive in their own country, and they keep riding on Jesus going to hell.
Mm-hmm.
All right? But when we say let's go and start our own community, all of a sudden they get confused and don't understand what that means. Well, because it's there, like you said, Brother William, they're trained in school to be middle management. They're not trained to be entrepreneurs. They're not trained how to think and do for self and build. They just train how to work for somebody. And so they don't want to give up on their training and break out of that hole that they're in. And so they get confused when it says, oh, look, let's do for ourselves. They can't even think for themselves because they have been completely co-opted in their mind to live their life for somebody else, even saying assalamu alaikum.
Thank you very much. If you all don't mind, we're down to
seven minutes. Can I say something to that just quickly?
Yes, ma'am.
I just wanted to say, if you have a desire to physically relocate, then you need to start the process of putting a plan in place to help facilitate that desire to physically relocate. We have in the Time to Leave movement, the Physical Relocation Committee has a separation preparation helpful workbook. It is called It Is Time to Leave, and it asks the question, are you ready to establish our own communities? So what it is, it gives you like a practical look at how you can start putting a plan in motion in order to facilitate you physically relocating. And that is available at our Time to Leave website. Thank you.
Thank you, Sister Majida. And
that's
we have a caller. Praise be to Allah. We have a caller. I want to get on. This caller has been very patient. And caller, your last four digits is 8767. And what's your name and where are you calling from and your question or comment?
Yes, sir. My name is Brother Stephen X from Dallas, Texas. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam.
Yes, sir. I just had a question in regards to if there was I've only been on these calls for a few times, but I just wanted to know if the comment was ever brought up to maybe purchase some sawmills or maybe build some sawmills to actually process some wood down. I know there's a lot of trees out there on that farmland, and that'd be a perfect situation to actually process some wood and get started in the process of at least having some lumber, that you don't have to pay a full market price for that lumber, because it doesn't take a lot of skill to operate a sawmill. So I just wanted to ask that question because I know we were looking at doing the container home. So I just wanted to offer as an alternative if that was ever brought up.
Okay, so are you an expert in that, brother? Can you come and look at what we got and tell us what we need and maybe help us to build it? I mean, is that your expertise?
No, sir, it's not my expertise, but I'm pretty well versed with mechanics, and I'm very good at building. I see white folks building these sawmills all the time on YouTube, processing their own wood, like,
okay,
you know, the Amish, you know. I've looked on,
okay,
YouTube videos of building their own sawmill,
well,
you know.
Well, again, see, one of the, hopefully Founders Day, we're going
right
to get more people down here. You should come here for Founders Day, July 6th, 7th, and 8th, and we can have these discussions, because it always going to take a human being, okay, who knows what to do, and then we get some resources to get it done. Ideas are great, but we got to have a human being. So, yeah, we got wood here, we got trees here, but somebody has to know what they're doing to come and tell us what to do.
I just wanted to – I was just asking if it had ever been discussed as far as doing it that way. Or
no,
I,
no,
if it just,
no, nobody no, – no, I don't know anything about it. But love for somebody who does know something about it to come and tell me what we could do and what we can do and what we should do. I would love for that to happen. But
all right,
somebody got to
right
come and help me. I don't know how to do it.
Dr. Ridgely, could you give a little more information on the Founders Day that you just spoke of?
Yes, sir. Founders Day is July 6th, 7th, and 8th. You can go to MuhammadFarms.com and you see the registration for Founders Day, or you go to NOIMOA.com, NOIMOA.com, and you can see the registration for Founders Day and the events that we have for Founders Day.
Okay.
Okay?
Yes, sir.
And
thank
before
you.
Brother Marshall, Lee, we need to know how to get your book, brother.
Okay, it's available on Amazon.com, or you can go to my website. It's clearandconvincingevidence.com.
And the name of your book is?
A Case for Separation.
And your full name is?
Warren F. Muhammad.
Okay, thank you, sir.
And I'd just like to say we're down to our 2 minutes. Brother Warren, you know, we want to thank you for taking the time to share your experience and knowledge and your depth in this field of law and in the teachings of Honorable Elijah Muhammad to discuss this topic. And we want to say that the doors to the Time to Leave Blog Talk Radio Show are always open, and we'd love to have you call in anytime you want to make a comment or chime in on the conversation, mm-hmm, brother.
Thank you, brother and sister, and all those involved. Thank you for this opportunity. It has been enlightening for me until we met, Brother Carlton. I didn't know this existed. So I appreciate the opportunity to come on. I will become from now on a regular listener and participant because,
right,
believe me, I have learned as much as I have shared. So.
Oh, praise is due to Allah. Sister Majida, any closing comments?
No, sir. Just to thank you, Brother Dr. Warren, and all of our callers and listeners, and Dr. Ridgely and Sister Ann, as always, thank you for your input and your participation. Thank you.
And I have the same sentiment as well. Thank you, Brother Warren. And listeners, go get his book. And we look forward to discussing our next topic in the next show. And thank you all for tuning in. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Won't you let me? Won't you help me? Won't you help me understand you?
Tennessee. Lord, I've really been real stressed,
uh-huh,
down and out, losing ground.
Yeah.
Although I am black and brown, problems got me pessimistic.
Mm.
Brothers and sisters keep messing up. Why does it have to be so damn tough? I don't know where I can go.
my forefathers hung from. Ask those trees for all their wisdom. They tell me my ears are so young. Go back to whence you came. My family tree, my family name. For some strange reason it had to be. He guided me to Tennessee.
Down to Holly Springs. Razadon and Baba, they went down to Peace Street. Headliner, I challenge you to a game of horseshoes. A game of horseshoes!
Now I see the importance of history. While my people be in the mess that they be. Many journeys to freedom made in vain. By brothers on the corner playing ghetto games. I ask you, Lord, why you enlighten me without the enlightenment of all my folks. He said, cause I set myself on a quest for truth and he was there to quench my thirst. But I am still thirsty. Lord, allow me to drink some more. He said what I am searching for are the answers to all which I'm